are visiting with us this evening, we would give you a special word of welcome and invite you to worship with us again. We would also welcome our speaker for this evening service again, Mr. Stephen Miller. For those that are here perhaps for the first time, Stephen, as most of you will know, has completed the ministerial course in our Whitfield College of the Bible, and he has spent some time as our missionary in the land of the Gambia. But he's back with us now again. I'm going to say that the Lord has called Stephen to be a preacher of the word. First and foremost, that is what the Lord has called him to do. And as I said this morning, we are greatly blessed to have a session and congregation to be able to call upon our brother to handle the preaching of the word even at this time. And as he seeks to bring us a blessing again from God's word this evening, we would pray that the Lord would bless him in his own soul even this evening. Remind you again on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. our Bible study will be by our Facebook page as usual, and Stephen again will be the speaker to remember our brother at this time. Then we would encourage you to have that family time of prayer after the Bible study. I was just considering the word that the Lord had laid on our brother's heart. There from the Psalms about searching out our wicked ways. And you know, when we think of that verse in 2 Chronicles there, a well-known verse, chapter 7, verse 14, and how it speaks again of the church repenting. And that was the thrust of Stephen's message to us this morning. And we have to take what the Lord sends to us in his word. That verse, again, in 2 Chronicles, it speaks of the need for repentance by the people of God, and it speaks about us seeking the Lord. I'll read it to you here again, I'm sure you know it well, but if my people, that is the church, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, there is repentance again, then, and pray and seek my face, and turn from our wicked way. The Lord was telling us this morning, and turn from our wicked ways. Then we have recorded what the Lord will do. That's our part. What the Lord will do. He said, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. So let us claim this promise again. Let us come before the Lord as a church and seek his face. So at this time, especially, people, we need to rededicate ourselves and believe, even as a church, to the place of prayer, not only just remind you of the presbytery guidelines for under which we can conduct these drive-in services, that we remain in our cars at all times, just the driver's window open if required, and toilets will be open for those that require them. And again, should anyone in the congregation require pastoral care during the next 2 weeks, please do not hesitate to contact one of the elders and they will attend to the situation. Thank you. That is all by way of announcements. I will now hand the remainder of the service over to our preacher for this evening, Mr. Stephen Miller. Thank you.
And I also thank you for making the effort to be here tonight. And we trust that the Lord will bless us as we meet together. And can I also thank our brother, Mr. Brown, for making the announcements. And again, the elders for the opportunity to preach while Reverend Stewart is having some necessary rest. And we trust that the Lord will bless his word. We're going to read Psalm number 126 as our first Bible reading this evening. Psalm number 126. Psalm 126, a song of degrees. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us. Whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. And let us seek the Lord in prayer, and let us all pray. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we approach into thy most sacred presence in and through the name and merits of thy dear Son and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks for the one who is the Lamb of God, for sinners slain. We give thanks for him, the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb, the one who alone is worthy to bear the great load of sin and to work out for us salvation through the shedding of his blood. We give thanks that the Lamb who was slain for us has now been exalted, having risen from the dead. And today he is seated at thy right hand. And we say that he is worthy to receive honour and glory and blessing and all praise that we could give to him. We give thanks for the one who is our hope and our salvation, and we pray in his name. We give thanks also for the Holy Spirit. We give thanks for that great gift that has been bought for us through the blood of Christ, that the Holy Spirit lives within each one of thy dear people, and that by him we are enabled to live for thee. And we pray for his precious work to be done in our hearts tonight. We pray for the Holy Spirit to work in us. We pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us with understanding, to shed abroad in our hearts thy love, to teach us to know more of thee and to walk in thy ways. We pray that thy Holy Spirit would bring that conviction of our sins to our minds. We pray that by the power of thy Spirit, we would turn from our sin. We confess again that we have failed this day. We have failed in our love and in our service. We have failed in our thoughts and in our actions. We have failed in the things that we should have done, and we have failed in the things that we should not have done. And we confess our sin to thee. Help us to know and understand how grievous it is in thy sight. We pray for grace. We pray that thy grace would work in us and lead us to true repentance, that we would be restored and renewed to close fellowship with thyself. We pray for each one in the congregation here. We give thanks for each precious life, for each one who has made the effort to come to this meeting, and we pray for them. We pray for those who are gathered here and they are struggling at this time. We pray for those in the congregation who are here and perhaps those who are unable to be here and they are battling with loneliness and with sadness and with trouble and distress. We pray that whatever the circumstances of their lives, we pray that you would draw near today and that you would encourage and that you would lift them up. We pray for help in the preaching of the gospel. We give thanks for that wonderful news that there is life through the risen Lord. We give thanks that we have a message. We give thanks that we have hope. We give thanks that we have the truth. We pray that we would be faithful to that precious message tonight. We pray that it would not come with man's words or with man's wisdom, but we pray that it would come in the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray for those who may be gathered here and they're not saved. We think of those in our family circles not saved. We think of those in the community round about this building and they're not saved and they're without Christ and they are without hope and they are going on without thought, perhaps of their latter end, without thought of the judgment that awaits them. We pray that by the Holy Spirit you would arrest their thoughts tonight. May they think of their sin and fear to fall into the hands of the living God, and that they would seek the Lord and that they would trust alone in thy mercy. We pray for thy word as it's preached here and across our land tonight in different meetings and on the internet and across our world. We pray that you would be merciful to thy people and lead us forward in these days. Remember again those who cannot meet publicly at any time because they are persecuted by the authorities. We pray that you would give grace and help to such. We remember our minister tonight. We pray that you would encourage him. We pray that you would bless him in his body and in his soul. We pray that you would strengthen him through the word. And we pray that soon he will be back ministering the word in this place again. We give thanks for his labors here and for the blessing that has attended his ministry. And we pray that you would give to him the refreshing and reviving that he needs in his own body at this time. And we pray that he would soon be preaching again in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember Mrs. Stewart and Abigail. We commit them to thy care. We pray that they would know thy sweet presence with them at this time. And so we commit ourselves to thee. We acknowledge that we stand in great need of thee. We have nothing in and of ourselves to recommend ourselves to thee. We have no right to ask for thy help and for thy blessing upon us other than through our Saviour's blood. And yet we give thanks that he is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And we pray in his name, for his sake, that you would come and be with us and help us and bless us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to read another psalm. The psalm that we will consider this evening, the Lord enabling us. And that is the psalm number 130. The psalm number 130. And is also a song of degrees. Psalm number 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities. O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Amen. This psalm expresses the prayer of someone in deep trouble. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. When we think of the depths, we think of the great waters of the ocean, that deep, deep water that is so vast, so overpowering that in a storm it rises and falls with such force that even the great ships are battered by it. And those who are tossed into the waves, they sink into the great deep. And the physical picture in our minds of the danger of being in deep water, it crosses into our thinking about our lives generally. We speak of someone being in the depths of mourning because of the loss of a loved one. We refer to someone being in the depths of despair because of some great problem in life. We think of someone being in the depths of pain because of some awful disease. This psalm teaches us that whoever we are and whatever depths we are in, we should cry out to the Lord. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Verse 1 speaks of him as Jehovah, the all-powerful God, the one who is dependent on no one and nothing. He is the one to whom we should cry out from the depths. And tonight I'd like to consider the lessons for us in the cry from the depths. The cry from the depths. First of all, we can notice the sin it confesses. The sin it confesses. Verse 3 identifies that this cry from the depths is a cry of confession. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? This cry to the Lord is a cry out of the depths of sin. And the sin that is confessed here is sin that deserves judgment. It's sin that deserves judgment. The psalmist speaks of his iniquities in verse 3. He acknowledges that he has sinned multiple times. And in verse 2 we read that he cries to the Lord with great earnestness, with great passion, that the Lord would listen to his cry, confessing his sins. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. His sins are a great deep into which he has sunk and in which he is sinking deeper. And he acknowledges in verse 3 that if Jehovah marks his sin, that is, if God holds the record of his sins against him to punish him for those sins, he will not be able to stand. He says in verse 3 that if the Lord would mark down anyone's sins for judgment, no one would be able to stand before him. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? The second time the name Lord is used in verse 3, it is not Jehovah, it is Jehovah the first time. The second time it is Adonai, and that other name of the Lord that is used here, Adonai, it speaks of the Lord as the one who is sovereign, the one who is the ruler, the one who controls all things, the one who decides all judgments, the one before whom all people will one day appear. And if he holds the record of our sins against us on that day, we will not be able to stand. We will not be cleared on the great day of judgment. But if he holds our sins against us, we'll be found guilty. We'll be cast down into hell itself. God hates sin. And sin is any breaking of his commandments, any imperfection is sin, and it offends God's holiness. It incurs his wrath. It deserves his hell. We read about this in the first Psalm, in the Psalm number 1, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 1, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Oh, if you're not saved today, understand that sin, your sin, your many sins, deserve the judgment of God. Understand today that your sins are a great deep. They are so many that they are like a great ocean into which you are sinking and in which you will perish eternally. And oh, understand today that out of the great depths of your sin, you must cry to the Lord. This psalm teaches us that our sins deserve God's judgment. And so we should cry. Cry out to the Lord from the depths of our sin. The sin that is confessed here, it is sin that deserves judgment. It is also sin that requires forgiveness. It is sin that requires forgiveness. In this cry out of the depths of his sin unto the Lord, the psalmist speaks in verse 4 of God's forgiveness. "But there is forgiveness with thee." We're taught that there is forgiveness from sin with the Lord. And we're also taught that our sins need forgiveness. We can't just hope that our good works will outweigh our bad works at the end of our lives, and so our sins will be overlooked. Even if you do the greatest works of sacrifice and charity and mercy, that will not remove the stain of your sins. Your very best works will not cover your sins. Even if your sins are not as bad as the sins of others, even if the sins of others are far worse than yours, that does not mean that your sins will be overlooked in the judgment of God. Forgiveness of sins is a necessity to escape the depths of eternal fire. Forgiveness of sins is a necessity to one day enter heaven. The forgiveness of sins is a necessity if you're going to stand before God in the judgment. And yet we can praise the Lord because we are told that there is forgiveness with the Lord. "But there is forgiveness with thee." And oh, that you would grasp this today. You are a sinner. Your sins are a great deep mass of guilt. And you must have forgiveness to escape hell. You must have forgiveness to enter heaven. And there is forgiveness with the Lord. And this forgiveness of God, it leads those who receive it to fear him. "But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared." The forgiveness of God is not some sort of blank check that allows us to live as we please, knowing that we'll always be forgiven. When someone truly understands the depths of sin, when someone understands the judgment that sin deserves, when someone understands something of the holiness of the Lord, when someone experiences the free and full forgiveness that the Lord gives, such a person will fear the Lord. Such a person will fear offending the Lord. Such a person will fear dishonoring the Lord. Such a person will fear disobeying the Lord. And such a fear of God is one of the signs that a person has received the forgiveness of God. "But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." Oh, today that you would understand that your sin, it requires forgiveness. And may you cry out to the Lord from the depths of your sin for forgiveness. And may you fear him as you receive forgiveness from him. As we think about this cry from the depths, we have the sin it confesses, but secondly, we have the one it awaits. The one it awaits. The psalmist says that out of the depths he cried to the Lord, and having cried out to the Lord, he then waits on the Lord to save him. And as he awaits the Lord, he waits upon God's word. He waits upon his word. Verse 5 tells us, "I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. He waited on the Lord, and he had hope because he was trusting in the word of God. He was hoping in God's word. And today we can cry out to the Lord out of the depths of our sin, because his word gives us hope, because his word gives us confidence. The Lord Jesus taught in John chapter 10 and verse 35 that the scripture cannot be broken. It cannot be broken. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be dissolved. And therefore God's word is sure. God's word is true. God will always keep his word. And his word tells us to cry out to him in our need, and he will save us. We wait upon the Lord by trusting what he says to us in his word. In God's word, we have the promises of salvation for those who repent, for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In the word of God, we learn about the Savior, the one who is God, the one who is man, the one who hears the cries of all who call on him for forgiveness from a sincere heart. We read of the one who has promised us in his word, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Notice the strength of the desire with which the psalmist waits upon the Lord as he hopes in his word. Verse 6, "My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." I say more than they that watch for the morning. You can imagine the sentry on guard duty, the soldier on a city wall, watching all through the night, keeping guard. And as the hours pass, and as each watch of the night passes, he waits with hope for the morning. In the morning he will have rest. In the morning he will have peace. In the morning he will be safe. And oh, how he waits for the morning. Think of a mother waiting at the bedside of a sick child all through the night. The child is weak, and it becomes worse at night. And how the mother hopes for the morning, hoping that the child will make it through to the morning, knowing that if the child makes it to the morning, all will be well. And the psalmist says that even with a greater desire, with more passion, with more urgency, I wait upon the Lord, trusting in his word with more fervor than those who wait for the morning. And all our hope today is founded on the word of God. All that we know about God, all that we know about heaven, all that we know about hell, all that we know about ourselves and our sins and how our sins can be forgiven, all that we have today, all of our hope, all that we believe, all that we are depending upon, it is in the word of God. We have nothing else. And we need nothing else. And what hope, what confidence we can have in the word of God. Oh, if you are in the depths of sin today, grasp the word of God with hope and with desire and with urgency. Hold on to that word alone, trusting what it tells you about the Lord, and cry out to him from the depths of your sin to save you, depending on his word, for it will not fail. He waits on God's word. He also waits on God's mercy. His mercy, in verse 7, the psalmist encourages Israel, those who profess to love the Lord and to follow him, to hope because there is mercy with the Lord. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. We are taught in the word of God that the Lord is merciful. The Lord revealed himself as the God of mercy when he revealed himself to Moses in that most special way in Exodus chapter 34. And we read of this special revelation of the Lord to Moses, Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. It says, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sins, and that will by no means clear the guilty." The mercy of God is an amazing thing. It spares the sinner from the eternal damnation that he deserves. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22 gives to us the words of those who trust in the Lord. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. And here is a great truth. There is mercy with the Lord. God's word tells us about his mercy. God's people can rely upon that mercy. And if you're not saved and you do not know the Lord, you can experience that mercy when you repent of your sins, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Today may find you in the depths of misery and despair because of your sin, because of your failures. You're in a great deep. But remember, there is mercy with the Lord. And cry out to him out of the depths of your darkness and sin. Cry out to him from the depths of your heart and wait for him, for he will have mercy upon you. He waits, hoping in God's word and in his mercy and also in his redemption. He waited on God's plenteous redemption. Look at what he says in verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Redemption was taught to Old Testament Israel most clearly through the Passover. The Israelites were the slaves of the Egyptians for 400 years, and the Lord promised that he would redeem them out of their slavery. And this happened on that night that the Lord passed through Egypt and he killed the firstborn in every Egyptian home. And the Israelites were told to take a lamb without blemish, to kill it, to put its blood on the door of their houses. And when the angel of death passed through and saw the blood, he would pass over their houses. And by this means, the Israelites were brought out of slavery. They were redeemed by the blood of the Passover lamb. It was a plentiful redemption. All of the nation, all of those who were sheltering under the blood of the Passover lamb were saved. And it is a picture to us of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 tells us, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect Lamb of God. He lived the only sinlessly perfect life on this earth. On the cross he suffered and shed his blood, bearing the sins of his people on his own body. He rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven to present his blood before his Father as the ransom price for sinners. And through his sacrifice, through the pouring out to God of his spotless perfect blood, all who trust in him are redeemed. Isaiah describes it in chapter 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And those who repent of sin, those who trust in the blood of Christ, are forgiven by God for their many sins. They are granted the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus as a free gift. They receive peace with God. They receive eternal life. As the verse says, it is a plenteous redemption. It is complete salvation. It is for all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And because there is plenteous redemption with the Lord, redemption that is great and full and meets all of our spiritual needs forever, then we can cry to the Lord from the depths of our sin and wait on him with expectation, with hope, with confidence, because there is redemption from all sin through the power of the Savior's blood. And so this psalm, it teaches you to cry out to the Lord from the depths of your heart, from the depths of your sin and shame, to cry out to the Lord, waiting, trusting in his word, trusting in his mercy, depending on his plenteous redemption. So as we think about this cry from the depths, we have the sin. It confesses, we have the one it awaits. And then one final thing, we have the promise it presents. The promise it presents. This psalm ends with a wonderful promise in verse 8. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. This promise is certain. It is a certain promise. And he shall redeem Israel. Israel here represents those who truly believe in God's word. Those who trust in his salvation. In Old Testament Israel, those who read this psalm, those who would have been singing this psalm back in Old Testament times, they believed the promise that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, would come into the world to redeem them. And those who believed that promise and trusted in God's word were saved through faith in him. And today as we read this psalm, we know that that promise has been fulfilled. The Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He died on the cross. He rose again. He has done all the work to redeem our souls. And so the promise stands. Salvation is certain for those who cry out of the depths to the Lord in repentance and faith. The Lord will hear your cry. The Lord will forgive your sin. The Lord will deliver you from going down into hell. The Lord will give you hope through his word. He will give you a place in heaven. He will give you the Holy Spirit to live within you and to enable you to live the Christian life. When you cry from the depths of your sin in sincerity to the Lord, he will meet your need. If you're not saved, he'll meet your need for salvation, for hope, for a rescue from going down into hell, for peace with God. If you are saved, if you are a Christian, you're weighed down tonight by great burdens or grieved by sin and backsliding, then the promise is for you. When you cry out of the depths to the Lord, he will not fail. We read of it again over in Psalm 120 in the verse 1. And what certainty there is in these words. Psalm 120 verse 1. In my distress I cried unto the Lord and he heard me. The promise is certain. If you're in the depths of sin today, the Lord has promised to hear when you cry. If you're in the depths of misery and hopelessness and helplessness, the Lord has promised that he'll hear your cry. And you call out to him. The promise here is certain. The promise is also comprehensive. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. From all his iniquities. When we cry to the Lord out of the depths of our sin, we will be redeemed from all of our iniquities. And think about it. All your sins and mine tonight are many. A great deep of sin. And they're vile and they're filthy and they're deep dyed in God's sight. But the blood of Christ our Savior, the one who lives eternally having died for sins, his blood and his blood alone is able to cleanse away all of our sins. All of your sin. That awful record of imperfection and evil that pollutes even your best efforts in life. That great mire of sin that is dragging you downwards into the pit and you have no way of pulling yourself out can all be removed through faith in the Savior's blood. There is no sin too evil to be forgiven. There's no sinner too fallen that they can't be lifted up. There's no depth too deep that the Lord Jesus cannot rescue you from, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. David describes it in his own experience in Psalm 36 and Psalm 34 and verse 6. This poor man cried, And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Are you in the depths today? If you're not saved, you are in the depths. So deep and so dark that you don't even realize how dreadful it is. But out of those depths, cry to the Lord for help and mercy. There are lessons in this psalm for the Lord's people. The promise is for us. When we cry to the Lord from the depths of our sin and failure and disappointment, he will hear. He will forgive. He will restore. If you're not saved, you can claim the promise as your own. You can say, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I have sunk to great depths. Depths that I wouldn't want anyone else to know anything about. I've sunk very low in my rejection of the Lord, but I'm crying for mercy. I'm trusting in his word. I'm depending on the blood of Christ. And if you cry from the depths of your heart, then the promise is that he will hear. He will save. You'll be able to save yourself. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, delivered him out of all his troubles. May we take this word and consider it, and may the Lord apply it to our hearts. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. May we grasp it tonight. May we believe it. And may we practice it. And may we know the blessing that the Lord has for us through it. Amen. Thank you for listening. We trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts according to his own perfect will. I'm going to close our meeting in prayer. And so let us all pray. Our loving Father, we approach thee in our Saviour's name. And we give thanks for the word that you've given to us. What instruction, what wisdom, what hope and blessing there is in thy word. Help us to believe it. Help us to act upon it. We pray that if there are any listening who are not saved, and they're in that great deep of sin, they're going to go down deeper into hell itself. We pray that out of their depths of sin and misery tonight, that they would call upon thee. And they would find that mercy that you've promised to all who will repent and believe. We commit our way to thee. We pray that you'd keep us in safety as we travel home. We pray that we would live in thy fear, and that we would live to the honour of thy great name. Preserve us in these days. Grant us safety. Grant us wisdom. And enable us to be living witnesses to thee. We pray that thy love and mercy will surround each one of thy dear people. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen.